listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly is here with us as well, producing the program.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
We'd like to welcome those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, which is customary, kind of sets the tone. First one is do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can learn more about these at our church website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, to those in the chat room who are with us, if you've got anything on your mind, please type it in the chat room, a question or something going on in your life, you'd like some feedback on, anything like that, or a topic that you're curious about, put it in the chat room and we will address it as we are able here. I'd like to talk a little bit about critical thinking, just a little bit, and within a specific context, within the paranormal research field. The reason is that I've heard experiences before, talked with people who've had experiences before they're amazing. In fact, they're too amazing. And, you know, these folks are scared, they're worried, things are going on. Recently, somebody was talking about, you know, drinking glasses being thrown across the room. Nobody's there, nobody threw it. They just throw themselves a bad rancid type smell that comes and goes. And, you know, I think a kitchen utensil was thrown against the, you know, several feet against the door. I mean, there have been reports of stuff like this type of thing happening. It's real hard to nail these down. And in my experience, if these things were in fact happening, it would probably be one of the most amazing things I would have ever experienced if I'd seen it. Now, that having been said, I know that things can happen. As far as bodily harm and all that, you know, that's really not a big thing. The thing is that spirits just can't harm the living, the flesh. I shouldn't say the living because they're living too. Spirits just, they can't really harm anybody. Excuse me. It just doesn't happen. I mean, this kind of goes along with the idea of possession. You know, if there were malevolent spirits out there who really could possess people, I mean, they'd be doing it all day long, and we'd have all kinds of demon-possessed type people, but we don't see that we do see a lot of possessed people, but they're possessed by other human beings, as I've mentioned in the past. So the point that I want to make is that there's a lot of folklore, there's a lot of stories out there of things happening, and we really have to use a critical mind and critical thinking on these things. In almost every instance that I've ever investigated these things, they've proven to be misidentification or natural causes. You know, there's a natural explanation, or somebody's just not telling the truth. They're dramatizing it. They're making it more than what it really was. So I think it's interesting when we see anything like this in life, we have to keep a critical eye. And that means critical doesn't mean negative. It just means we have to question, and we have to see some evidence. We have to be able to nail it down as to what's happening. Things can happen, yes. I've had things happen that I can't explain any other way. But they're very, very rare. And so one of the things I urge anybody who would be a paranormal researcher, paranormal investigator, is to make sure you investigate it thoroughly. Don't just take claims at face value, but you gotta investigate them. That's what investigators do. They investigate, and they look for answers. One of the things you can do is try to falsify it or prove it wrong. And that's what scientists do. They'll try to falsify the evidence, meaning they try to prove it wrong. And if it can't be proven wrong, then it's got a good standing. It's got a good footing. I had one instance about almost 10 years ago. I was on an investigation of a fairly familiar case, which I really can't name. But, I'm sitting in the guy's kitchen. We were all, several of us were there, and it was daytime. It was the afternoon, and his the guy's son, 14-year-old son, walked through the kitchen. I'm sitting at the table. I'm actually on Skype with the late Dusty Smith, who was a paranormal investigator. I was talking with her on Skype on my laptop, and to my right, sitting at the table to my right, was the main kitchen area. There was an island, you know, with a stove and stuff on it, and, you know, an island in the kitchen. And then beyond that was the sink and cabinets and so forth. So I'm basically not paying much attention to the son walking by, and he was walking by and from behind me toward the front of me toward the sliding glass door, and he opened it a crack and said something to his dad and mom, who were out there on the patio. And as he did that, he kind of looked back at me, and I'm talking away with Dusty, and he looks at me, and it dawns on me that I hear this noise, and he looks at me and gives me this weird look, and I hear this noise, and I turn my head to the right and look over at the kitchen sink, and the water was turned on, and I mean, it turned on by itself. That was kind of cool, actually. So I said to, he didn't go over there. I mean, he was nowhere near there. Nobody was there. And so I went over to the faucet, and the water was running, and I turned the knob, and I turned it off. And I looked around, and I could not see anything underneath or anywhere that was responsible for that. So it was kind of cool. I mean, that sort of stuff happens. Now, is that a ghost? Is that a spirit that does these types of things? Well, I suppose the popular consensus is that it's RSPK, which is recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, basically RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. And it's usually at the hands of a human agent. And it can be anybody. It's like sometimes folks don't realize that they have some psychic gifts. And so strange things can happen. Strange things can happen. I mean, it can be anything. Lights turn on, turn off, you know, noises, just about anything. And it's usually the way that their stress manifests. You know, some people's stress manifests in sore shoulders or muscles. Some people's stress manifests in migraines. Other people's stress manifests in psychokinesis, you know, and they usually are unaware of it. It's unconscious. They don't mean it. And it's often an adolescent girl, but it's not always that. It can be really anybody. And it usually passes. So I just wanted to put that out. Basically, the point I'm trying to make is if you hear extraordinary claims, you gotta investigate. You gotta really use a critical eye and critical thinking and get to the bottom of it to try to, and don't ever settle or go for a paranormal explanation first. Try to explain it otherwise, because, and one of the best things, one of the best concepts that you can use, it's your friend, it's Occam's razor. Occam was a 13th century monk, and basically it's the KISS principle, right? Keep it simple, sweetie, kind of like stupid. But basically, Occam's razor is that the simplest explanation is likely the correct one in the absence of additional information. So if you have very limited information, the simplest explanation is likely the correct one. That's usually the case. Not always the case, but it's often the case. So just a few words. Dr. Hunter, anything you want to add to that?
Oh, well, we could be here a long time with this conversation, sure. You know, I'm with you. We have to be sensible about it, not have
that's
our brain.
Good point, yeah.
Good point is that we have to keep a reasonable, objective mind and not like collapse emotionally into what we like to see. We see this all the time in what I call the New Age religion, and it's not just about paranormal investigations. It's about all kinds of, whether they're healers or readers or, you know, they speak in absolutes, like what they're saying is the absolute truth, when it's simply their experience of that. And I think if I have an issue, it's when people convey information like it's the one and only and the be-all, end-all. And there's just too many other possibilities. So it means what it means to you in that moment, because I think rather than just the logic, there's also the sensory perception. But the more objective you are about yourself, the more you can detect whether there's an energy with that or if it is somebody who's telekinetic. The thing is, I don't think most people want to know about telekinesis, which is really very interesting. Yuri Geller? And bending spoons way back in the 60s and 70s. And he went underground, believe it or not, he's still alive. But there's just too many possibilities. So yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
And there's some cool things that have happened. There was a time I've talked about these things on the program before. I was sitting on the couch and Tracy was to my left, and we were watching some TV. It was daytime, and you know the boys were around. This has been quite a few years ago, and right next to my left, I was on the end of the couch, and right next to me on my left was a walkway. And I'm watching TV, and I felt somebody put their four fingers of their hand on my neck, and I thought it was one of the boys, you know, messing with me or something. I turned around and looked, and there was nobody there, and it was absolutely real. It's not like I you know, feel these things all the time. I mean, somebody put their fingers on my neck. What were they trying to do? Get my attention? I don't know. I don't know who it was. I don't know, but I know it happened. Another time, this is before Michael left home many years ago. It was a Friday. It was a later Friday afternoon. It was probably around 5-6. It was daylight. He'd gone to work. I knew he'd gone to work, and I was in my office and came out. And Tracy had gotten home from work, and I came out of my office and I was headed down a short hallway. I was going to walk down a short hallway to the kitchen, and I had a partial view of the kitchen. And as I turned the corner and looked, I swear I saw Michael walking into the kitchen and out of view. It was not a bit of a glimpse, but it was too long to have been just been, wow, I thought I saw something. I saw what I thought, who I thought was Michael walking into the kitchen. He was dressed like Michael had been when he went to work. And and Tracy was in the kitchen too. And she was out of view. And I came walking in. I says, where's Michael? She says, he's at work. I says, well, I just saw him walk into the kitchen. No. And I know I saw him. I know I saw somebody. It was cool. You know, that's one of the only times I've had that happen, but.
He was teleporting.
Yeah. High locating, huh?
There you go. And, you know, my list is really long. This is pretty normal for me in my entire life to have these things occur. Here's a very interesting observation I'd like to share, if I can just shift the topic a bit from this. I just had a number of clients on the weekend, and I don't ordinarily wear my rings. I have a whole bunch of jewelry that I wear, usually only when I travel or it's an event. But I was wearing all my rings and different metals. I have copper, silver, gold, and all these really cool, funky ones. And I detected something a little different in my readings, like the accuracy and my ability to stay focused, my ability to be in the here and now, it just seemed sharper. And I thought, well, now that's really interesting. So I started to observe. Now, I have a thing about electronics and metals, and all my clocks will be all wonky. I can't wear a watch because the batteries fry and times go crazy. And what I hadn't thought of is, because ordinarily when I do readings, I do not wear jewelry. I keep it, all the energy clear. But I thought, well, isn't this interesting? So I'm in an experiment at the moment as to how my frequency is affected by wearing metal. And it's really tough, though. You got to be as objective as possible, because then comes in the feelings and the sensory perceptions. This is something that I'm going to have to observe for at least a year or two, for a long period of time, to be able to, you know, with jewelry, without jewelry, and seeing how it affects my frequency. So it's just an observation, I think. Just on another one of my, oh, this is an interesting part to learn about. You know, it's just fun. So
yeah, you had some interesting experiences. I've had some interesting experiences with you. You know, with your hands. It's all your fault.
Like, sheesh. I think that I'm just sorry. I'm also reading some conversations here in the chat, so it's pretty neat. Really, you know, I want to say it's really good to have everybody here and how they connect. It's kind of a social venue for folks. It's pretty awesome. I think that what we're learning is pretty constant, and always keep an open mind. One of my, as I said earlier, one of my pet peeves is when people just kind of get stuck on what they believe and not open their mind. And even then, I had a conversation with somebody about 2 weeks ago about when you get into a new trendy thing or you're trying it and then you suddenly use it with all your clients thinking that you might know something. But, and so I suggested they push the pause button and experiment with that for themselves for a while before they start using it with clients, because it can be skewed. You know, it's like, don't think you can, like a lot of people just pick up a deck of tarot cards and just start reading and think they kind of, and but their information, not the reading so much, but other things can be misleading. Okay, I'll just say this much too. There's somebody was reading a chakra book, a book on chakras, and said that the orange center below the navel was the emotional center. And I said, well, that's new to me. Where did you get that information? Oh, well, there's this book. And I said, well, a caution that whatever is in a book is what they kind of have experienced or think they know, because I have never in my life of studying chakras for over 40 years heard of orange being the emotional center. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's wrong because there's obviously emotions in there, but the emotional center's in yellow above the navel, but it's going to have an overlap of color. So again, it's when somebody takes a bit of information and they start giving that to clients, I think we have to preface and qualify everything when we're working with others to say, this is my experience. This is what I have gleaned. So that it allows other people room in their thinking to also gain their own insights. But when we say, you know, this is absolutely this way, then it doesn't give other people room to grow on their own. So I'm not going to say that it's wrong that there's not emotions in orange. I'm just saying that that's new to me, and the emotional center isn't there that I know of. So it's to do it tactfully, but also trying to educate people to keep their minds open and to gather more information. Like, don't just grab something, read one book, and think that you can use that. So I think we may have gotten cut off. So, can everybody hear me?
Well, I can still hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Michael. There was a blip, and it went dead on my end. So,
well, we lost Dr. Kelly.
I'm back.
Oh, there all right.
My internet dropped out. It's been doing that today, and I had to reset my adapter.
And
no, you see, those are spirits.
Well,
yep, they're saying, "Hey, we'll tell you. Don't doubt us."
And, those spirits did that. It's wonky. Anyway, my point is I would hope everybody keeps an open mind, and please, when you're working with people, sharing information with people, be cautious to say, it's my experience, or this is what I have gleaned, or so you're having more discussion, rather a tit for tat, or, you know, speaking in absolutes, because that kind of spoils all the fun for me. You know, it spoils the fun in that I like to keep an open mind, you know, and keep learning.
Well, good. All right. So it's been a good discussion. It's interesting. It's always interesting to talk about this stuff. But just keep an open mind, but keep an objective mind. And the amazing stories that are out there, they could be, but probably not. It's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is. All right.
Well, I'll go with the spirit thing.
Well, yeah, but you're different. I mean, and I'm talking about these amazing claims that you hear. And, you know, a lot of it's hyped up by TV and reality shows.
What I really appreciate to happen is that I do some house dog sitting for a friend of mine and her husband when they travel. And a couple of times I've been there and there's been this smell of pipe smoke. Like, yeah. Pipe smoke wafting through. And she's never told me about it. And one of the last times she came back from vacation, I said, you know, it's very interesting that I have the smell that comes up. She goes, oh, you mean the pipe smoke? She said, yeah, I get it once in a while, and it just comes and goes. I said, I know. It's like somebody's just passing through. And it's good that when more than one taps into that energy, not just yourself. You know, I live on my own planet, but I think that that's a pretty cool experience when more than one experiences the same thing. You know, Dr. Angie's just saying, I wonder if ghosts feed on fear. No. I mean, they can. But no. I think that my experience in readings and such is when spirits usually come because they have a message or something to say. Some are trapped in the mid-worlds, and that's usually what the other, you know, ghost hunters kind of conjure up and stuff. But my experience with spirits is that they got their own trip, their own journey, and they don't feed on fear. That's not my experience.
Not in general. I mean, some people, some human beings feed on fear, but Yeah. Most don't. Spirits are just like people. They are people. No different. And when you start considering them and viewing them as just people, they become a lot less scarier. In fact, they're even less scarier than human beings, because human beings can kill you and they can. So, you know. All right, so let's pull some cards. If you'd like card, please put your name in the chat room. We'll do that, and then we'll wrap things up. Let's pull a card for the world first.
Oh, I don't know if we should. We're talking the whole world, not Trump, right? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
Education.
Okay,
education.
That's a good
one. Education, number 39. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. I'm laughing because we were just talking about this. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. What a hoot. What a hoot that we picked that card. That's wow.
Well, so, that's a good one for the world, though, because that's what the world needs, is education. That's what we do. That's why we're even here right this moment, is education. It's everything we do is education, and that's what the world needs. We don't need more military. We don't need more dictators. We don't need more, ruined lives. We need education. We need to educate the masses. Yeah. People need that, because that is the key. That is the key to our future, is education in a variety of ways, and especially in practical life skills, which is what we do. It's what we teach. The stuff we should have learned but never did as kids. So education's a powerful card.
Yeah. Heather is first, asking for a card that I have seen. So I picked one here for Heather. And you can be next in there for Fran, Michael, if you would. So number 15 for Heather, belief system, knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside a belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. So I think that what this might be just, reminding you a little bit about, Heather, is that if a question has come to light in your life right now, or even today for that matter, maybe your answer lies outside what you normally would think about. So, shift the dial, as I say, and have a look at something from a different point of view. I very often see life and information like a clock. And if I turn the dial to 1, it's from a different angle. I turn it to 2, it's from a different angle. And 3. And if I want to find a truth of something, I have to be able to turn the dial all the way around. Something has to make sense from any which way I look at it. And that's not to say something else won't come to me another time to look at it another way. So this is just that reminder for you that I think the answer you're seeking might be outside your existing belief system.
That's a really powerful nugget, too, for everybody. When we're faced with challenges and problems that we can't seem to solve, it's because they're limited by our belief system, and we need to get outside of it.
Hmm. Okay, Michael, do you have one for Fran?
Hi,
Fran. Good to have you here.
And for Fran, I pulled 15. Belief system, knowledge base.
Are you kidding?
I'm not. Actually, I just pulled that from the middle of the deck, right? Huh. We have to actually look up the odds on that, because it must be astronomical.
It is.
Go buy a lotto ticket.
And by the way, I'll just add that I've just been, while I was listening to you, Dr. Hunter, I was shuffling the cards absentmindedly, and then when I pulled one for Fran, I pulled one right out of the middle of the deck, and it took a second to dawn on me, but
that's exciting.
Well, I think we should go ahead.
Well, Fran was also mentioning in the chat here, as we were reading that, she said that card is right on time, and I think she means for everybody too. So remember that, everybody, and Fran, that little dial shift for you as well to, you know, answers are outside our belief systems, so what we're accustomed to. Great.
Well, do you want to? Full secondary one.
All right. Let's see.
For Fran. All right. Fran, the secondary card is for you.
And did you want me to pull one, or are you going to pull one, Doctor?
Yes. No, right. Please.
All right. Pull number 42, trust and integrity.
Good one.
Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
That card has popped up a time or two lately.
It has. And it's said very well, but it, I mean, trust and integrity are key and crucial to any good life and really any good community.
Trusting oneself.
Trusting oneself for your life. But, I mean, if we found that attribute a little bit more frequently in some of the communities around us, it would definitely make for a much better world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and trusting that when we look outside our belief system that we might be onto something.
Absolutely.
Well, now I picked one for Jeff. Good to have you here, Jeff. Number 8, which is balance and order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present, or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. So this is saying that you either got things in order or you're tending to things to get them in order. So I think that that's a good message. And I always like to say, wow, you mean it's actually telling me I did something cool? I actually got it in order. So that's all right. But then there's always things to tend. So that one's for you, Jeff. Is there anybody else here that is in the chat that I missed, Michael?
Not that I saw, but I was actually going to ask if you could pull one for me.
Oh, happy to. Happy to. Got one here. Deliberate intent. That's a powerful little message, I think. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience. Oh, that patience part's a killer, Michael. You know, like we all want a green light at the intersection, right? But we have to know that we want to get to the other side of town. We have to know what the destination is and be really clear about that. But that's not to say you couldn't take a little detour from time to time, but you're still going forward. It's kind of going with the flow. But once you make a decision and you put that decision out there in the universe, you have to let it go and trust that that's where you're going. So I think that's a really good message.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think it's very applicable, actually.
Oh, cool. I like
that. All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up here. We appreciate everybody's time tonight. Always good to have everybody here. And if you have a topic you'd like to see addressed, please email us, admin@icmhchurch.org, or you can, if you're a student, you can just send it to admin@metaphysicsinstitute.org. Contact us at the school, anything like that, and we'll be happy to address it. Next week we'll be back with some other topics. We appreciate everybody's time. Thanks to Dr. Hunter for always being here, and Michael as well. And thanks to those listening to the archives, too. Good to have everybody here. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.